Thank you, Lord. We just, Lord, rejoice today to come together to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you quicken our minds, that we may grasp the truth to set us free and to empower us to become the children, your sons, and to manifest what you want, Lord, in our lives. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that this is the call that each one of us has, and that you are going to make it to happen as we see more and more be manifested in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good. You know, generally I meet with Christians, you know, and I don't have the same opportunities to talk with people outside as many of you have, because you are maybe in a job or something like that. So I mostly meet Christians, you know. And so when I go to some place and I have the opportunity, I generally ask lots of questions to them. You know, I can see how everybody's sick. The devil is having really a good time in this world. You know, everybody has problems, and everybody, you know, the way they talk, I mean, they make it even worse, because they just, you know, glorify all the diseases that they have all the time. You know, it makes you feel sick at the stomach to hear their stories, you know. It's good that it doesn't need to be that way. Praise the Lord. You know, this God's desire is to manifest are the sons, this manifestation of the sons of God. And this topic has been such an important topic to talk about, because this is really what we are moving toward. It's going to be more and more of evidence of that taking place. It's not connected to any denomination. It's not connected to any specific group. It's just happening. And when that happens, you know that it's not man doing it. Amen?
Amen.
You know that God is doing it, because he is orchestrating that over, you know, going over all the divisions and the things, and really is bringing it about and changing people's life and giving breakthroughs that people don't even think were possible before. You know, this is an exciting time to live. It's a time of darkness, but it's a time of light. You know, and this is what was predicted. That was the prophecy they're talking about. So I really think, you know, but one of the what I've been talking before was maybe more exciting than what I've been saying the last week or so. But really what I've been talking about now is the basis, is the reason why this manifestation is taking place. You cannot talk about becoming the way God wants you to do without talking about being obedient to what he wants you to do. The two things are connected. You know, there cannot be breakthroughs, really, that are persistent and remaining growing in that dimension, unless you start following God and start implementing the word into your life. So, you know, one of the key things to do is really meditate on the word. That's really what does it, because that is for us to get beyond the Bible study level. Bible study is limited in the ability to give you breakthrough, because the only thing that operates is in your mind. The key of having breakthroughs and success spiritually is the spirit, not the mind. Your spirit, we are spirit. We are spirit. So everything, you know, that's a problem with religion. Religion is always being focused on the exterior, on formulas, on, you know, ceremonies, giving and rituals, that's right. Giving importance to these physical things more than what happens spiritually to the person that is going through things. What counts is what happened in your spirit and in your heart rather than what you do in the physical. They try to regulate the spirit by doing physical things. That's all the idea of, the sacramental Christianity, which is really non-Christian. It's pagan. Okay? What counts instead is the other way around, that what happens in your spirit determines what physically takes place in you, both in actions and in your body. So, your healing comes from your spirit, not from the things you do. Your breakthroughs come from your spirit, not from, even saying a formula, even saying a prayer. It depends on the position of your heart. When your heart is in the right place, the words are going to be the right thing. It doesn't need to be just great words. The only thing you have to say, Lord, I receive what you have done. That's all we need to do, because that, is not words that works in the spirit. It's the idea, it's the thoughts, it's the attitude that comes to us. And when we realize that, we don't waste times in all these unnecessary things that we end up doing to try to get God to work. He wants to do it before more than we even want to. He is there wanting to minister life to us more than we even want life. It shouldn't be difficult to connect, because he wants to connect more than we do. All right? He's there wanting that. He took the initiative. Before we even wanted to send Jesus for us, for everybody. And so he's the one that takes the initiative, it's not us. We just had to respond. We had to say yes, we had to say, I want to come along with you. I realize, the love that you have for me, and I'm going to respond to that love. When we, it's not struggle. Some people say, being a Christian is difficult. It's complete nonsense. This is the opposite. It's much easier to be a Christian than to be a non-Christian. The thing is, the people that says that, they're the one that base themselves and their experience on the flesh instead of the spirit. Because if you are born again, the spirit is willing to follow God. The flesh is weak to follow God, but is strong in the fact of controlling you. So we have to just understand certain things and start experiencing them. One of the most important things to realize that lots of people look at this only from the spiritual point of view. And it's not just spiritual, because we are spirit, but everything in us is connected to our spirit. So whatever is spiritual is also mental and physical. Affects our emotions, affect our feelings, affect our attitude, affect our behavior, and affect the way our body works. And we have to let God do within us the things he wants to do, and he does it the way he did it with Jesus when he resurrected him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens your mortal bodies. So it just works on all the things, but it comes from inside there, not from the world around. The first struggle, the first blockage, if you want, that you had to realize is the fact that we had to understand that it's not that difficult. It's actually easy. It should be easy if we are not depending on our flesh, but we are connected to our spirit. There is much more power in our spirit than in our mind and in our body. Because in there is where everything else comes about. It's interesting that even scientifically they're starting to discover that. I don't want to go into that at the moment. But one of the things that we have to realize is what it says in 1 John 3, that, you know, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So he wants to do that within us. Destroying the works of the devil involves destroying sin, destroying, you know, sickness, disease, destroying any of those things that bring us to do the wrong thing or to affect our life in the wrong way. You know, Jesus came to give us abundant life abundantly, and the enemy came to steal and kill and destroy. The thing is so simple to really see, because, you know, that's even a child could understand that, but theologians have a problem in getting it. And this is a sad thing, because they end up making it difficult. Okay, it's just, instead, you know, so one of the things that we had to understand, okay, that we had to apply this idea. We had to apply this idea of, you know, Jesus coming to destroy all the works of the devil, not just sin. He overcame sin, but he did more in the, you know, redemption is involved much more than sin. All the consequences of sin are included into that. You just have to read Isaiah 53 and you can see that there is no way out for us not to consider the fact that, you know, our redemption included physical healing and all the other associated feeling and emotions and things, not just sin. He didn't come just to forgive our sins. And this is another thing that often you hear, you know. He came to forgive our sins. He didn't come to forgive our sins. That's only one little part of the story. He came to set us free from sin, so that we are not anymore under bondage to sin, but we can walk. We are, you know, not slave to sin the way Paul says it in chapter 8, but we are, you know, slave to righteousness. Hallelujah. To give us his righteousness. I mean, that, you know, you have to start seeing yourself on that perspective, because otherwise you're not going to be able to move forward. You know, there is one can start from sin, but has to spread the idea of redemption to all the other things. And the way it works exactly the same way. Okay, it's always, you know, you overcome, you get forgiven of your sins by faith. But maybe your faith is only there, and the only thing you get is forgiven, and you still go around calling yourself, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, if you are a sinner, you're going to keep sinning. There is not going to be any victory in your life. You cannot be a sinner saved by faith. You have to be a saint saved by grace. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, your identity has to change. You have to start seeing yourself with God's righteousness operating in you to be able to operate on that level. And that means, you know, that your own self-image has to be completely different. But it's the same thing physically. If you see yourself sick, healed by God, And you still see yourself sick after. It's not really, the job is not done yet. You have to start seeing yourself with the health and the life of God inside you, not the results of sickness and sin, sin and sickness that are coming from sin. Are you following me? You see, that self-image has to change for us to be able to move into the dimension and the experience that God wants us to have. You know, when you start doing that, you don't need people to pray for you to get healed because you walk in divine health. That does not mean that the devil is not going to try to, you know, he come to steal and kill and destroy. He takes advantage of little situation to come and try to attack you. But it's very clear. I mean, even Jesus was tempted just like we are tempted. But didn't work with him because he knew what to do. You know, Matthew chapter 4, he just spoke the word against the temptation, and the temptation, the devil had to leave until he would come up another time, if you remember it says that way. Okay? Because he tries all the time. He tries with us too. Doesn't mean we had to take it. Resist the devil, and resisting, you know, really aggressively. I mean, you speak the word, you get mad like, you know, Diana did against him, and he has to flee. That's the word, that's what the word says. If you are there passive, he's putting his foot in, and then he's putting everything in your life. And he's robbing you of what God has provided for you. So we have to understand, you see, and the spiritual component, you know, the way it works by faith for sin should help us in understanding what we have to do to work by faith for our physical and mental and emotional needs. You receive always from God in the same way. Everything that you receive from God is by faith. Okay, that means that you have to believe it before you see it. You have to have something to base yourself for to believe it. That means, you know, you have to have some promise you hang on to, or you see and you say, wait a minute, you know, this thing in my life is not what the promise of God says should be. And so I don't want it. I want God's promise. It's through God's promises that we become partaker of the divine nature. For 2 Peter chapter 1. See, this is where we become the people God wants us to be. This is the way we become the sons of God. Because we are going to manifest in the physical, in the mental, in the world, in the spirit world as well. Because, you know, but the spirit world, you cannot see it. But when he's in the spirit world, you can also see it in the physical world. So people that are blind to the spiritual world doesn't really matter because they're going to see it anyway in you. Because you're going to walk in this dimension that they cannot walk. I'll say that you are weird, that you are strange, that you are, you know, abnormal, and then you are, I don't know what, spiritual, whatever, but it doesn't matter what they say, they don't have a clue of what they're talking about. Because they don't even see the kingdom of God in which you are actually living. See, that is what's so important, you know, we have to learn to walk in the kingdom. Being a son means that you are walking in the kingdom. That you are manifesting the power of God in your life. That you are actually living the reality of God's promises. You know, it's the best that can happen to you. I don't know why anybody wouldn't do that. I don't know why anybody wouldn't respond to God's love when life is completely different and is far superior than anything else you can get anywhere. Can't buy it. Cannot buy for anything. It's better than anything. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so exciting that this is going to become more and more manifested. And we are going to take more and more of this reality in our life because we are going to become more identified with it. See, this is why the big problem about people saying, you know, I'm talking about people, are you even born again? They say, well, I'm a sinner born by grace or saved by grace. I mean, by itself, just by that definition, by that, those words, you are stuck yourself in a place in which you cannot grow. The only way that you can grow is by changing your way of thinking, changing the way you perceive yourself, changing your identity. Are you following me? And you have to start reading the Word to do that. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Not one, all of them. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday, when was it? Yeah, last morning, I was I was, you know, been preparing the message for today, and, you know, and the Lord showed me how important it was to actually see, you know, how our salvation is brought about in this way, the way I'm sharing with you. I don't know if I can convey all the things that I got because it was just a second. Sometimes that's the way it happens. You know, I'm just sharing what they got in 1 second. It takes time. All right. Last night I tried to, when I came back from the wedding, I tried to put something words, but I found it difficult, so I just let it go the way it goes. Okay, but really, you know, the important thing is to recognize, you know, that the problem, you know, with most religion is the fact that it's depending on the physical thing. Okay, it's depending on the fact, you know, that, for example, it's depending on one of the laws that are valid, but we go beyond that. God has gone beyond this law of sowing and reaping. I mean, that is a law that works even today, but God has provided in such a way that we can go beyond that. Because, you know, we were sinners, but according to that, we deserve death. But Jesus died for us. So actually, you know, that law is being fulfilled, but not the way it's normally applied. But the thing is, generally religions try to do that. I mean, try to please God by doing something physical. It's not by doing something physical that you please God. It's by believing Him that you please God. And that believing doesn't need any physical thing to happen. It just happens the moment when your heart is in the right place and you make that decision within yourself. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, God's desire is to set us free of everything. That's why He sent Jesus. This is what was announced by the angels, you know. You listen, people, you know, the preaching, Christian preachers, say, you know, God is mad with sinners. God is not mad with sinners. He sent Jesus for sinners. It's just the opposite. And He wants to set them free before they make the decision. All right? So, you know, if he's mad, he wouldn't do that. So, well, you know, but after, see, but then, you know, they okay, well, you have to get saved. But after you get saved, you better do the work that you do the right thing, because otherwise you miss it. So, you know, all the epistles of Galatians, it's all talking about that. You foolish Galatians, or foolish whatever you are, you know, you start in the flesh and you want to try to continue in the, you know, you start in the spirit and you want to continue in the flesh, forget it. It cannot work. But are you, you know, the things that works is the Holy Spirit and our heart being open to the Spirit of God so that he can do the work in a supernatural, spiritual way, not the physical way, not because of the things you do. When we understand that, you know, I mean, this is basic. But many people try to get breakthroughs by the things they do, making promises to God and vows and stuff like that, when instead the only thing they had to do is to believe God for what Jesus has done. It's what he has done that counts, not what you do. And what he has done was not the results of the physical action that he did, it's the position that he took within himself to want to take our sins away and take our sicknesses away and take our pains away, because it deals with all the emotional pains as well. Hallelujah. So we can get so caught up into trying to do the right thing that you end up doing the wrong thing. You know, people start to walk in the spirit and then they end up doing things in the flesh, trying to deserve God's blessings through the things that they do instead of really connecting to God and allow God to change their heart so that they automatically doing the right thing. So that's why, you know, being really a real Christian is not difficult, because it's not you doing it. It's, you know, you are not doing it anymore. What you're doing is your life in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not the work that you do, the hope of glory. So you get yourself out of the way. You die. Kill that old flesh that takes you down and doesn't help you. Just allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Make that connection with the Father. Receive what Jesus has done. And you know, and follow your heart. That's what makes you strong. That's what gives you the victory. Are you following me? This is so important. You know, you can't develop the power of God in your own flesh. But if you operate in your spirit, all the power is there. The power of God to do the same thing, you know, that's what Jesus said, you know, the works that I do, you shall do also, even greater works than this, because I go to the Father. I mean, you know, that's what start to be, you know, I believe that this is manifesting today. We are starting to see that happening on a regular basis, not just sometime on the blue moon. Amen? And so that, I really find that really exciting and rewarding, and you know, it's going to be better and better. It's already 11:30. We haven't even started. You know, one of the, I'm going to try to squeeze it up and and condense in a few minutes what I wanted to say this morning. Okay. But you see, you are saved by faith only. I mean, believing, not by the things you do, but by faith. This is by faith in what Jesus has done. It's what he has done that counts, not what you are doing. The thing is, when you are saved by faith in Jesus, what he has done, you see, in Galatians chapter 6, I want to read this scripture here. But God forbid that we should boast except on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. You see, that part has to be there. Okay, I mean, that's not going to be always easy because the flesh tried to control us, but we had to make that decision. Okay? But then goes on say, and when we were dead in for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, these are all the physical things, you know, all the ceremonials, all the things that we try to do to impress God, which we can't. So not circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but what? A new creation. See, the fact that you are a new being, a new creation, a heart is changed, your heart has become sensitive to God and is enabling you to do the things that God, you see, he wrote the law in your heart, not imposed on the outside, trying to make you do all the things that you shouldn't do because this is what the Ten Commandments says. It's much more broad than the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were operating in the law and they couldn't do anything. They don't identify clearly all the problem with sin. Because you can squirm out and can do whatever you want because it's only physical. Okay? You know, one of the things that I wanted to stress, you know, today, this grace component is being pushed to the extreme. You know, the whole idea of hyper grace is wrong and is preached in lots of places. Okay? And the idea is, doesn't matter what you do. You know, Jesus died for them, so that it doesn't matter. You can do anything you want. This is complete nonsense. When you are a child of God, when you're connected with God, you only want to do the things that God wants you to do. You are always in obedience. You cannot be in disobedience, in doing things that are God is contrary to, and being connected with him. You know, there are so many scriptures, and I don't know how can anybody be so blind and to do that, you know, to follow that teaching and those ideas, but this is the flesh controlling the church. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, says something that should put, you know, completely remove that kind of theology from Christianity. It says, whoever abides in him does not sin. And that means, you know, that means the word there, the tense there implies does not keep sinning. Okay, because the desire is not to sin. Okay. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Sinning is really disobeying what God wants. Okay? Little children, let no one deceive you. That's really, really, you know, preparing you to hear the truth. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. It's talking about Jesus. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil, which includes sin, sickness, pain of all forms, mentally, emotionally, and whatever. So, Whoever is born of God does not habitually sin. For his seed, the word there, seed, in Greek is sperma, okay, which corresponds to the physical word as well. Okay, that means it's the life power or the what produces life in you. And what is producing life in you? Word. The word. Okay, the word, because his seed remains in him. The word of God remains in you. And he cannot habitually sin because he's born of God. I mean, that's pretty clear, that's pretty evident. You cannot accept those theology, that theology, you know, and follow God. You are in deception. You cannot grow in God by doing those ideas, those things. Doesn't matter. You think you're born again, but you are deceived. You know? The word of God is what makes you born again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, having been born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Jesus' word, their spirit and their life, their power to transform you, to empower you, to give you new life so that you are a new creation, and that new creation is a creation according to God. All things have passed away and you want to move forward and you are not going to let go of the flesh and all your fleshy desire. Hallelujah. You know, that's what makes the difference. See, when we start accepting these ideas and start rejecting the other ideas, we start moving on and we start developing things. You know, we start changing in the way we do. And, you know, it doesn't happen instantaneously. You know, the changes happen as we come to realize the things that are in disagreement, the things that are off to God's desire. And that is come to us because the Word is revealing it to us. The Word works in us. The Word not only show us the problem to put condemnation on us, but show that us so that give us the power to overcome. See, that's where the power comes. He sends His Word in, or, you know, and heal them and deliver them from their distractions. And all of them, sickness, disease, pain, sin, everything is there. It's all in the same package. And you receive all the things by faith. So you, by faith, you have to start saying, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a son of God. I can do all things in Christ to strengthen me. My life is in Him. It's not in myself anymore. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. I think we should make a confession. Amen. I mean, this is victory. That overcome in the world, even our faith. You see, we have to start walking by faith and not by sight. Not by the things that our senses tell us, but what the Word of God tells us. Hallelujah. The sky is the limit. Truly. I mean, not just theoretically. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's make a confession here. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what Jesus did for us. I receive it now. I'm born again. I'm a believer. I stand on the Word of God. I am forgiven because Jesus paid for my sins. I'm healed. Because Jesus took my sickness and my diseases on Himself. My pains, everything that is connected to sin or consequence of sin is taken away from me. I am free. I am a son of God. I am a child that grows into fullness by obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful in my life. And I receive it. appropriate everything that says in the name of Jesus. And I'm grateful for everything that God has done for me, for His love, for the victory that I can experience in this life and in the life to come. In Jesus' name. Amen? And amen. You know, if you weren't born again, if you weren't born again before saying this prayer, this confession, if you said it with your heart, you are a new creation right now. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't He? Amen.